Breakfast on Triple J with Matt and Alex.
Here's your pod.
Sup?
Cast. What can we talk about in this podcast?
Let's just talk about what we talk about in the thingy. We're bringing something back. We're going to try.
Yep. So that's coming up later
on. We could
on.
Fail. We don't always succeed. I'm not just saying us, Matt and Alex. I'm saying people in general. We're prone to failure sometimes. But
yes. We'll try our best later on. Can we talk about how good Dr. Amanda Bauer is?
Yeah, she's so great.
She's on here talking about the universe and stuff. And talking to some people on the radio, depends if you do much radio or do much other stuff. But it's tough. Like sometimes, you know, it's difficult to put people on the spot. They find it really uncomfortable. You've got to put the questions out. This is what you're asking me. And, you know, I can explain about this one. And if you stray from that, you can get in a little bit of trouble if you make people seem like they don't know.
Yeah.
Amanda Bauer, later on. I'm pretty sure there's a point where Matt literally says, so are there multiple dimensions? Why and how and why not?
And she just jumps
just
into
like,
it.
We didn't mention it at all beforehand. She could just say, well, this is the point that we're at with those things.
Yeah, it's great.
I just laughed about it.
Wish that I understood, like, because she can give us figures about how big the universe is, but I can't comprehend it. I feel like she might be able to comprehend it a bit better.
Yeah, you look at it, bloody houses and go, oh, 79 square meters. Is that big? Is that,
yeah.
Yeah. For like and a then, floor plan of an apartment.
Yeah, but then like, yeah, just the mind-shattering size that this universe is in.
And then, right, this is what I'm thinking. Old humans in the middle.
Yeah. Well, barely in the middle.
Well, barely in the middle. But where do we sit on size compared to, you know, the biggest multiverses or whatever, or the biggest suns, which are huge, compared to atoms, which are friggin' tiny.
Well, look, I believe that there is a fourth dimension, all right? And it does, and it is a loophole kind of dimension that we haven't figured out yet.
You can't see Matt's face here. I'm letting you know it's a serious face.
Yeah. No, this is not a joke.
No. Okay.
In the same way that if I run in this direction in the earth, I'll come back round the other way.
Right.
Okay, I believe that if I go outwards into outer space and keep going past old Valerie Laika, outside the known universe, keep going out, I will actually
and I'll be waving goodbye to you, just going, bye, Matt,
then
see
I will come back out of this stuff.
Big, and tap me on the shoulder and go, I was behind you the whole time.
Yeah,
and I'll go,
exactly.
What?
Exactly. That's right. How I feel.
And is there any evidence for that rather than that's what happens on Earth? So that's what might happen in the universe.
Well, look, I'm just figuring. It's like we can't know everything there is yet. I'm just putting my hypothesis out there.
All right. So what happens in a black hole?
Well, that's what happens. That's maybe the black hole is the point at which you transition from being our size down into atom size, which is actually back to our size again.
It's like a trash atom compact.
Do you know what I mean? It just goes like, it all just comes back to itself. I'm saying there's another dimension that we haven't figured out yet. Look,
right.
Just like back in the day when people used to think the world was round, right now we think the universe is flat, okay? I know that we think that it's not flat. I know it's in a different shape, but I'm thinking like, there's something else, all right?
All right. We've got an actual astronomer coming out later on who can tell you some real things. And yeah, she knows proper things rather than throwing out weird.
I mean, what about if this universe that we are in is just like that's just the start of the solar system?
My favorite part of this whole thing is before we started the podcast intro, Matt goes to me, "All right, let's keep this short. We've got to go to the mechanic." And then he starts rambling about.
I'll tell you what, I can keep going until eventually time starts all over again and we come back to this point and I'll still be talking. We've gone through years
all
and
right.
lifetimes.
Well, we will leave you to it. All the best. Catch you soon.
Bye.
Hope you're well this morning. Triple J Breakfast is the radio program that you have tuned yourself into. I am Alex. That is Matt.
Jamie from Melbourne says, no Muzzy sucking the life out of that Bliss and Esso tune. Love it, boys. Shout out to Jamie.
Shout out to you, Jamie. Thank you very much. You can text in at any time. There are a couple of people on the breakfast team here. You got Ruby Jones coming in for the news, not too far away. And the person answering your calls, telling us when we're being idiots and to play a song, is Jono Harrison, our producer. Good morning, Jono.
A very good morning to
Hola.
You
guys. I spend a lot of time with you, Jono, in the mornings. And over the last, you know, year and a bit, it always surprises me how many different jobs you have done in the past. How many producing the Triple J Breakfast Show?
How long do you reckon your resume is?
Well, I've got two resumes. I've got the Bible version, which has every single job that I've got, and then I've got industry specific ones because there are so many that I've had.
Now, is this because you've chopped and changed and been fired from so many things in the past that
I was trying to count how many jobs I've been fired from. Definitely three.
Yep.
Jobs that I've been fired from. Mm. And First one was when I was a paintball referee.
How long were you a paintball referee for?
It was my second ever job that I had. I got fired because I was turning up late, and there was a bit of a culture there of going out having a good time on the weekend.
Yeah, sure.
When did the culture of harassing you in supermarkets start to play paintball?
I wasn't that guy. They worship those people. The salespeople, they worship because they make so much money for the business. Oh, I was just there. Once you buy all the tickets and stuff, I'm the one that, you know, you get
abused because you
I would tell you, actually, no, you only get 100 paintballs for that $150 that you spent.
Oh,
you still got to hire the helmet.
People worry about petrol prices, all right? Per litre. A litre of paintballs. Now that's expensive.
okay, you got fired. How old were you?
I was 19.
All right, next job you got fired from?
It was a recruitment company, actually. And they used to teach us.
Oh, that's delicious. What's that irony? That's delicious this morning.
They used to teach us how to let people go. And I remember the phone call. And I'll tell you about it another time, but I do remember the phone call. And it was taking me back to that first day of training.
Yeah, sure.
As if I wasn't sure what was going on because I thought they were testing me.
When you get fired from a recruitment company, is it one of those things where you walk out of the door and then you walk back in and say, I need a job?
The revolving door at the front, I hope. All right, yeah. Third job that you got fired from?
Oh, I can't remember the last one. Oh, no, yeah, it was when I was sort of working as a security guard at a shopping centre, and I walked away from the front door to go and get some ice cream.
Yeah, because that's going to intimidate people.
Yeah. And the old mates having a Zupa Duper in front, you're like,
manager just happened to be there in the security room looking at the CCTV as I walked away.
All right, well, so Jono has a vast experience of employment. I mean, they're only the jobs he's got fired from. He's got plenty of others up his sleeve. Like we told us the Australian Open was on before and he just like the other way, oh, yeah, I babysat Roger Federer's kids once. it's there. And so we're starting a little segment early on a Tuesday morning. Jono's jobs where you get to have employment advice. So I think this morning we want someone who's currently unemployed. All right. If you're looking for a job, Jono's had plenty. A good way to get into the workforce, perhaps talk through what industry you can go into. Please send us a text on 0439 757 555.
Come in with an open mind.
I mean,
I've worked in most industries.
Yeah. We're taking a punt this morning that someone who's unemployed is awake at 6:15. But we'd love to hear from you. 0439 757 555, and we'll try and help you out with Jono's jobs on Triple J. Matt and Alex here helping you out with the help of our producer, Jono Harrison, who helps us out every morning and also has a back catalogue that rivals AC/DC, plenty of other big bands that I've. Can't name off.
I mean, it's an interesting sort of position to be in, Jono, having so many jobs, because it shows that you're great at getting jobs, but also not good enough at keeping them. I mean, do you feel honestly qualified to give any advice whatsoever at all?
Absolutely. You're only qualified for the next job that you get. You know, this is the first time I've told anyone the full story of how many jobs that I've had.
Okay,
I've just been cherry picking details before.
Are there some that you are ashamed of and have kept secret in the crypt before?
Yeah. Once I was a commercial cleaner.
Okay,
that's fine.
And I had to use a wet vac to clean up the vomit from uni parties.
Okay. The unis. No good.
We got some texts in, though.
Yes, Amy, you've got in touch with the show. How's it going this morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good, thank you, Amy. And can you tell us what you've just graduated as?
So I actually graduated as a journalist last year.
Fantastic. I studied journalism, Amy.
Did you?
I'm still studying journalism. I'm currently in talks with the dean at my university to go into my 9th year of an arts degree.
So you're still doing that while you're working here?
Still doing the same thing. Sorry, I haven't told you guys. But okay. Well, it's my mistress on the side.
No, I need an experience for advice. It sounds great.
Perfect. Well, you could get it. You have graduated, which is a good thing. Jono's still working on it. But what's he's finding it difficult to get a job? I know print journalism is sort of on the decline. Is there any...
It is.
Any things you've been looking at which has been particularly troubling for you in this crazy world?
Well, funnily enough, I'd actually been volunteering at a radio station for the last 4 years, and so that's a bit of a hard industry to get into as well.
Fantastic, Amy. The best thing that you can do.
Okay, and what sort of stuff do you want to be doing, like news reading, sort of specialist reporting, out in the field? What do you like?
Sunrise weather.
Producing
recently changed hands.
I've had a go at a weather girl, and it didn't work too well, so I'm going to steer away from that. But, yeah, absolutely anything. I'm really passionate about all of it, so
okay.
Just sort of getting it in.
Well, you've managed to get a job in the media industry, Jono. How do you go about it, given that, you know, volunteering for getting your resume up? What's the best tip for Amy?
Amy's on the right path. Basically, do as many internships as you can in the media. That's all I can say. I started at the tennis. I was an intern there years ago, and you work for free for a very long time. But I worked there, as an intern.
What were you doing
years.
At the tennis?
Well, I started at their radio station, and I became a tennis commentator from day dot.
What?
Accidentally.
Give us some tennis commentating.
Well, I mean, are you a tennis player?
No, I knew nothing about it, but I said to them, I was like, listen, I'm really enthusiastic. I know how to like edit audio and stuff, and I can learn how to say Barbara Zalivova Stritsiva really fast.
All right, learn Serbian names, Amy. That's a good way to do it. So once you're in there, it's very tough to talk to the higher-ups about, you know, I've been interning for a while. How can I turn this into a paid job? Did you have conversations that
you've
Amy might
just
be able to help
got with? To either befriend or impress the person that is one job above you.
So that when they step away for a little bit, they give you the job.
Well, they might see something in you as well. There was one particular guy who's now my mentor and calls himself my life coach. my friend Peter. He was a commentator, a paid commentator there, and he ran another small business on the side. So I ended up doing sideline reporting for the WNBL and a bunch of other things. This is another part of the resume.
And a lot of people ask you, how old is Jono?
I'm 26.
26.
Yes, and so when I started doing these internships and stuff, I was 18. I wasn't really interested in uni, and uni was important because I got to third year and I did an internship and cadetship program at the ABC through that, so that was very important. And your grades are important, Amy, but keep going with those internships, mate. Trust me.
Ooh, I will.
There
Thanks
we go.
So much, Jono.
All right, well, we look forward to being, seeing you on a rival station one of these days, Amy. And dissing you on
accepted.
Air.
All right, have a good one. We'll catch you later on.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Jono's job's back next week. If you need some help getting into the industry, want to find out some more about Jono's employment history.
Top call centres. Oh, it's on a boom of milk.
Hope you're well. Hope you're not like Will in New South Wales. Says, Matt, you're not wrong. Okay, this is an update on Avogate or
right.
Guocgate. You're not wrong on this avocado thing. My local supermarket paid $7 for one last night.
No. As it, that's...
That is a disgrace.
That's highway
Are we
going
to get to double dig?
You know, next they're going to be selling avos at the movies for 15 bucks each. That's the next step, I think, from here.
Oh, we're in the midst of Avogate right now. I tells ya, avocados off the Richter, expensive, and there seems to be no end in sight.
Will from Lane Cove, what do you do for a living?
I'm a fruit and veg delivery driver.
Okay, so you're right in the thick of things. You're in the middle of it. And what can you tell us about avocados at the moment that we wouldn't know?
Well, they're currently going for about $90 a tray.
Oh!
So that's 30, so that's $3 a piece.
In bulk.
And that's bulk.
That's bulk. We may be down to 70, 80.
Oh, no.
But yeah, it depends.
And tell you what, are you now swapping with like the, I don't know, Chubb security vans? Are you got two people on guarding the produce in the back?
No, not quite that bad. But no, I was dropping off to Circular Quay, and I had people coming off a cruise boat literally trying to grab avocados off the top of the train.
It's mayhem.
What, without people paying for them? Just like zombies.
Pretty much.
What's happening? I mean, like, do you have any control over the pricing? Like, are you buying them and then selling them on, or you're just dropping them off?
I take them from the markets to the restaurants.
Okay, and how do the restaurants respond when you give them their avos and then you go, $90, please?
Yeah, well, we go out of our way to get the best avocados we can, but yeah, even then, they're not impressed at all.
All right, the tough weather conditions. No. I was reading in WA, making it pretty tough, a bit of a shortage at the moment. Although we got a few texts from the North Queensland listeners going, boys, come up here, 250 max for an avo there. So tell you what, sourdough, also quite expensive. How are people going to be eating breakfast?
You know, you're talking about going to North Queensland to do it. I've also read that's where you're most likely to get the Zika virus. So you got to toss up.
I'll risk it for a 250 ammo these days. Thank you very much for that one, Will. We'll catch you later.
No worries. Anytime.
Bye. We're doing rolling coverage of the avocado prices in Australia.
Avogate.
Out of control.
You want to talk about investing in gold? Forget that. Okay, we're talking green mush is where all the money is at the moment. You are, I mean, who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought green mush would be the
most valuable resource on the planet?
Hot commodities are going at the moment. And we got Bob, who is joining us here on Triple J this morning. He's an avocado farmer. He's out on the front line when it comes to the sort of pain that we're all experiencing. Should we want some mush on our sourdough, whether it is, you know, some cracked pepper on top, whether you've got the salt in there as well, whether you squeeze the lemon or the lime into the situation.
Whether you're just grinding it up and then packing it into avo bouillon, right, stacking it in your bomb shelter.
Henry is joining us this morning. Henry, how are you getting through these tough, terrible times?
Well, it is difficult. The weather is always against you, and it's very, very testing at a lot of the time. Last April, we lost probably 70% of our crop. Oh. And
what due to what?
Well, the cyclonic weather that we had. So it was a very short season, and this year things are looking pretty good, but there's a lot of time and water to go under the bridge as far as the weather's concerned before we pick our next crop, which we start doing in June this year.
Right. So you're an avocado farmer from regional New South Wales. When are the next crop coming through?
At this location that we start picking in June. And we start with our first variety, and then we have four varieties here. So our next variety we start in about July, and then it just flows on from there, and we pick until Christmas.
Okay, so when times are tough for an avocado farmer, do you look? Is there anyone who's like your sort of, you know, main people that really help you out? Are we looking at Mexican restaurants here, breakfast bars?
No, for us, it's just direct to the public. So you know, we've got a lot of happy customers up this way, and our location, we sell from the roadside stalls. So it's kind of iconic, really. They know we're here, and the locals support us very well, and they get a great product for a good price.
Right. So in the supermarket, someone said they paid about $7 for a single avo from the shops.
I'm not surprised.
Henry, if you go on the side of the road next to your avocado farm, what are people going to be forking out for an avo?
Anywhere between $1 and $2.
All right. So wait. I mean, but Henry,
now that's
then
just pornography to me at this point, Henry.
Henry, yep. So why? What's stopping you from just shipping your good product? I mean, and just selling it to the big dogs for you know, $6 a pop, and then you know, moving to the Bahamas.
Well, put it this way: if they sell it for $7, They probably are going to make $6.50 profit on it.
Okay. All right.
Wait.
Yep.
Are you trying to tell me that there's not really an Avo shortage and that these guys are just pumping up prices?
That's exactly right. That's what they do.
Avo Gate gets well deeper.
We had a bumper crop, I think about 6 years ago, and we had to actually pick bulk to get rid of it. We sent it to a central packing station. They gave me 80 cents a kilo. 80 cents a kilo. And there's roughly about three pieces of fruit in a kilo.
Tell you what, Henry, that's a guaca. That's an absolute Barry guaca. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Henry. Okay. Gets
well, you're
deeper.
Welcome.
We'll see how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah.
Here with live updates.
You're one of these big dogs and you want to try and explain yourself, you're welcome to give us a call. On Triple J, there's Pond off their album Man It Feels Like Space Again. The name of that track is Zond. Hope you're well. We kicked off with Emma Louise, Underflow, or as some people on the text line suggested, feeling in the avocado.
Yeah, just chatting about it. It's on the brain, chatting about the prices that are affecting plenty of Australians when they want a green smear on their various foods.
Yeah.
A little bit out of their price league. Thank you to Henry, the Avo farmer from regional New South Wales, for talking us through it. Other people suffering. The Avo Lanch, I think we're calling it. Now,
non-Avo gate. I mean, you got to add
gate. That's old. Come on, get something.
Yeah,
you
add gate to everything.
Avo credit cardos as
one text
was described yesterday.
Yeah, last week. Someone's saying Avo's $6 each, but petrol's down 95 cents a litre. I'd rather pay two for $4 for Avos and just catch the bloody bus. So this text has said. Another person said I had Avo on my salad last night. Didn't realise it might be the last time in a while. I wish I didn't share it with Mum.
Eddie from Melbourne, what's your reaction to this?
Oh, it's crazy. We spent $2,000 last week, 1 week on avocados in our restaurant.
Where do you work?
Mexican restaurant in Melbourne.
Yeah, right. And so $2,000. And I mean, what's your standard sort of, you know, price for avos that you're spending?
Normally we pay $28 a box.
Yeah, and now like we just heard that was $90 a box.
Usually they'd come in with a box and you'd give them a $100 note and say,
we're getting them from New Zealand this week.
All right. Yeah. Oh no. Okay. So has this affected how you're suggesting the waiters should upsell to customers? People suggesting they want a bit
of guac,
and you're like, no, have some beans. The beans are good this year.
Have some beans. They're cheap. Yeah.
So have you had to change your menu at any point?
We can't because all the prices are already on the menu, you see, so we can't do anything about it.
Oh, dear. So what, smaller portions, or you're still being generous with it and just copping the hit?
We've got to be generous still, because you got to get basically what standards every week, same. So.
Oh, dear.
Oh, the Mexican restaurant. Yeah. There's no chance of doing a substitute. Someone said, Avos were
$7. They've got a frozen one from South Africa.
Yeah, and how is it? Is it as good?
We can't do that. It's terrible.
All right. Some people saying it. Someone said I had Avo from a tube for the first time just
that's
recently.
That's the one.
Well.
You don't want to be doing that. You don't want to substitute it with a different vegetable. I mean, it's not traditionally Mexican, but could you do some mushed sweet potato dip?
No.
Put the corn chips
it's
in that.
It's not the same, is it?
All right. Well, best of luck in these tough times, Eddie. We'll catch you later. They make some smooth beats. I tell you what, that was some of the first we heard. Crave You by Flight Facilities featuring Giselle on Triple J this morning. DMAs before that, who you'll be hearing from when Laneway Festival kicks off Friday in Adelaide, touring around the country. Yeah, shout outs to you if you're going to be listening to Triple J across the day. We're hearing plenty of live music popping through your speakers.
Yeah, shout outs to you also if you're listening to Triple J on the Triple J app in some kind of international space station. Is there only the one international space station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where humans live anyway.
All right. Well, shout outs to you if you have us dialed in.
And that voice you hear is Dr. Amanda Bauer joining us this morning, our resident astronomer.
Good
looking
morning.
Into space. Thank you. Very nice to chat to you. How's your 2016 going thus far?
Oh, it's been great. It's been very relaxing, I'm going to say.
Excellent.
Relaxing for you personally or relaxing in the world of astronomy?
A little bit of both. I mean, there have been some pretty good news stories out, but personally, I've just been chilling.
Okay.
Well, it's very nice to have you in because whatever we do, we are picking off our cerebral cortex off the floor. It is constantly blown by the fact that the sort of the scale that you bring to looking at the universe. And we've got a few questions coming in. Feel free to get your own 0439757555. Matt O'Kine, let's start off with a brand new planet.
Okay, yeah. So what's going on? We heard about a week ago or so that suddenly there's a ninth planet in the solar system.
Well, it all starts with Pluto getting ditched as the ninth.
Yeah.
Right, and ironically, Mike Brown is the scientist at Caltech who was the original one who wanted to ditch Pluto. He's the one who's proposing Planet Nine exists.
Right.
Oh, brownie.
Okay, so I mean, first, Pluto was ditched because it was too small, right?
Well, a couple different reasons. More its orbit and how it moves through its orbit than its actual size. Size-wise, it was big enough. It's spherical. Mm. It can hold its own. But it's how it moves through its orbit and whether or not it sweeps up all the debris. It's the dominating feature in its orbit.
Right. All right, what about... So why does... Okay, wait. So question here. Question. Why, then, if we know, you know, we can see galaxies that are... bloody however many squillion miles away, how have we not known that there's a ninth planet chilling out?
Because we haven't seen the planet. It's right. Just there's evidence to suggest that there is one.
That's exactly right. I don't want to mislead you. We haven't actually found a ninth planet. It's predicted to be there based on its gravitational influence on some other objects way in the outskirts of the solar system.
So, I mean, how are we going to find it?
We're going to look pretty hard.
Well, is it a big?
Yeah.
We'd be able to see it?
So it's big. It's probably about 10 times the mass of Earth. It's a little bit bigger than Earth, but it's so far away. It's at least over 200 times as far as Earth is from the sun. At maximum, it's probably 1,000 times farther away.
But it is orbiting our sun.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
If it's going to be in the solar system, it has to orbit our sun.
Yeah.
So if it exists, it will be out there, but it's really faint. And since it's so far away, it's moving very slowly relative to all the other stars behind it. So that's one of the reasons we haven't found it. And so we're going to keep on looking. It's not quite bright enough to see through the ways we've tried so far, but we can kind of narrow down where it might be.
Wait, it'd be pretty chilly there because I know learning Pluto was quite cold because it was quite far away.
It'll this be an ice planet. It'll be gaseous.
So wait, if it hasn't been seen... why does anyone even think that it might exist?
So what they've done is they have seen a few other of these outer Kuiper Belt objects, and they move in a very elongated orbit, so not circular in the way that most planets do. And they all seem to be, when they shoot away from the sun, they all kind of are going in the same direction, which is not something that should happen. By now, after billions of years in our solar system, they should have randomized their orbits based on the gravitational influence of the major planets, but they seem to be oriented in the same way. So they're predicting the only way that can happen, which is a very low chance of that happening, is if there's another planet out there causing it to gravitationally move in the same direction.
Oh.
Right, so it's like you're sort of standing in a room and you know someone's looking at you. And you turn around and they're not there. And you're like, oh, I feel this. I can sense something here.
But then you add a little bit of math and scientific modeling and then you make a prediction.
Aha, Janine's in the bushes. That's what you can say. All right, well, stick with us. Amanda Bauer is up next. If you've got a question for her, 0439757555. I really want to ask you, Amanda, about our new address in the universe.
Okay.
We might not have been standing where we thought we were standing. Hi, Azakide. Great song there. Keep that letter safe on Triple J this morning. Matt and Alex are with you, chatting to Dr. Amanda Bauer, astronomer in the studio this morning, and I'm very glad that we had Keep That Letter Safe because I saw a map recently, Amanda, of our place in the universe, and it freaked me out because the universe was big, and what I thought was Earth was actually the solar system, like the Milky Way, in this huge, big, swirling, sort of like if you're looking at a chocolate ripple cake of stars.
I kind of felt like it looked more like a Yoho Diablo. Like there was an obvious center of it.
Right.
Would that be right?
Oh, that was just because of how we mapped it. We like to put ourselves at the center of everything.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So, because I mean, it looked like there was like a thing that went like that.
Yeah, spiraling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you were going to give somebody your cosmic address where Earth lives, you would say it's Earth, solar system, gold belt, Orion arm, Milky Way, local group, Virgo supercluster, and the new bit of the address is the Laniakea. supercluster.
Gotta be even more specific.
That's like
observable
the
universe.
That's like in Warrnambool, they added a 5-5 to the phone numbers at the start.
Just to make it a bit. So what's Laniakea then?
Laniakea is this super, super cluster. It houses the Milky Way and the Andromeda. It houses about 100,000 galaxies. And they're all individually clumped into little groups. We've got our local group. There's the Virgo supercluster. But this thing apparently encompasses all of them.
So this is like universal urban sprawl. We're sort of just creeping out the edges.
So what is, I mean, what's the rival, you know, Laniakea? What would Laniakea's arch nemesis in the universe be?
Yeah, where would our pen pal be?
One of our nearest superclusters would be the Shapley supercluster. That's one out there. The Coma supercluster is another one that's sort of in our supercluster neighborhood.
And they're like they're the biggest you get before you get to observable universe.
Yeah, yep. You keep getting to these superclusters first.
How many superclusters are there?
Well, it's hard to define the edge of these things. So we've seen a few dozen, but I'm sure they're all over the place. There's more than that we just haven't been able to measure yet.
And because it was sort of said, it was described as a map of the universe, right? This sort of 3D image. What is the likelihood is there any other dimensions that we are trying to figure out with the universe?
Yeah, well, we haven't detected gravitational waves yet. So one of the reasons these superclusters exist is because gravity is holding together all of these galaxies. So our local group's stuck together by gravity. Virgo's stuck together by gravity. Probably the Laniakea supercluster is not. It will probably separate eventually. But we can't detect gravitational waves yet. We know it's here. I know I'm going to jump and not float off into space. Gravity works. But we haven't been able to pinpoint it and detect it and say, yep, that's a gravity wave. The way we can gravity. An electromagnetic wave.
So we've found UV rays.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, radio waves, the way that you're getting this stream right now.
That's all light.
And blather from Matt and Alex. So you can see that, but we can't see when there's gravity pulling. Do you reckon that's something that will be discovered in the future?
We're working on it. We've got experiments set now. But gravity is such a weak force that it's really hard to be able to detect. So we're trying. I would say maybe another 5 years I'll throw out there.
It's been called. Set the date in your diary.
Pop it in. Yeah. All right, well, we'll be getting you back, I'm sure. Where gravity will make mine and Matt's wrinkles go a little bit lower potentially by that stage, but I'm sure we'll be chatting to you then. Just quickly, towards the end, Alicia's text to us. Hi, Amanda, do you believe in astrology? E.g., the planet's effect of behaviours and actions in relation to our birthdays.
No.
Okay, that's fair call.
Why not?
Because physically there's no influence. There's no experimental evidence that this matters at all. And actually our zodiac signs are misaligned to when they were defined 2,000 years ago because the Earth has pivoted on its rotation. So what you think is a Gemini, for instance, is actually shifted over, so it's not a Gemini anymore.
Oh,
yeah, I know that because I'm on the cusp. I'm like a Gemini, Cancer, cusp.
Okay.
Finally, someone else has texted and said, do I need a telescope to see the 5 planets that are aligned for the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely not. And everybody should get out
there. What's going on?
Before the sun rises for the next couple of weeks, and right now it's spectacular, you can see the five visible planets with your eyes in a line across the sky.
Wait, is there anything that we can...
This is what happened in Tomb Raider with Angelina Jolie.
I don't know whether you know this, Amanda, but there's a lot of stars out there. Which ones am I looking for?
So the absolute brightest one is going to be Venus. It'll be over on the east, and it's super bright. You'll be able to see that. And then up kind of towards the north a little bit is Jupiter. And then along a line between those, you'll see Mercury, you'll see Saturn, you'll see Mars. It's awesome.
Oh, sweet. Let's do it tomorrow morning.
All right, we'll do it before work and let you know. Thank you so much, Amanda Bell, for popping by once again, and we'll catch you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Bye. Hope you are well. Hope you are not like the poor individual we heard on the way to work this morning, Matt O'Kine, listening to Kieran Lyons on Triple J Overnights.
Yeah, he posed a very interesting question when a certain topic came up. A caller was asking for a little something which I think the world's been needing for a little while.
Somebody texted in saying that they were trying to find a bum bag on eBay, but none of them are cool, and then asked if I knew of any cool places where you can find a groovy bum bag. So I put out the text, and Matt texted in with a bit of a zinger saying, tell him to have a look in the 90s. What a sick zinger for your Tuesday.
So there you go.
That wasn't me, Matt, by the way. That was another Matt. I'm not zinging on a Tuesday.
No, not yet. But that's, you know, it's a shame because there are plenty of things that I wish we could bring back, bum bags being one of them. The problem is you just get zung every single time.
Yeah, You need the mass force.
Excuse me, why are you got this yo-yo walking around class? I'm bringing it back. No, Zung.
Well, I mean, on the subject of bum bags in particular, right, a few people texted in after that. They said, Brad from Brunswick said, the only acceptable time for a bum bag is when selling raffle tickets. Bo from Bargo said, the only place a bum bag is acceptable is when you're washing windows for gold coins at the intersection. Apart from that, no good. Another person said, under no circumstances should anyone ever wear a bum bag. Only disgusting lads wear them. I disagree with this. I think that there are things that we, you know, together can bring back.
Yeah, whether it is, you know, we had a Yoho Diablo reference on the show earlier today as well, Matt O'Kine.
I mean, I used to have a VHS with how to do all the sickest Yoho tricks.
And vinyls made a comeback as well. It got decimated by the CD. And now it's
all the rage.
It's outselling.
Oh, it's tapes, so cool.
CDs and everything.
Laser discs, forget it.
Gone.
They're by the wayside.
So we were wondering if you are just lamenting the fact that your favourite thing is no longer cool to have. People keep zigging you. It's about time Triple J got behind something so that we can officially bring something back.
Whether it is early 2000s dance floor hits.
Maloko the band, happy to get on board that. But we really want to get behind you. Me and Matt are prepared to do what it needs to do. Do you want to bring back rollerblading? All right. Is that a lost art form? Okay. I still see on the footpath, like sometimes a stick figure rollerblader with a big cross through it. Mm. I think that killed rollerblading.
What about?
But they're still there.
You know, disposable cameras.
Bring them back.
That you need to get developed at the chemist.
Developing photos, bring it back. We want to get behind you. 0439757555. What are you devastated that is gone that Triple J can help you bring back? Please let us know and we'll try for the month of February to officially get it back. On Triple J, that is Basement and Aqua Sun. Sort of bringing back a bit of late 90s rock going on there from the sound of things. And we're trying to help you on Triple J this morning. Bring back what you need to. Bringing it back because, you know, Triple J, very influential radio station, going round to 97% of Australians. If anyone could bring back anything, I'm sure that we, with our collective power, can.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get the right thing. We don't want to just bring back anything. You know, the dead has been...
I've seen too many movies where that's gone wrong.
Yeah, so we're not bringing back the dead. Zombie apocalypse is not on our radar.
We don't want to bring back, you know, Lou Bega's Mumbo Number 5.
No, some things are better off
gone.
Lou Bega being one of them, but...
Shout out to Lou. You do happen to be listening. No offense, it's just that song sucked.
So we've got a couple of calls here. Ash is currently in Kellyville this morning. What do you want to bring back, Ash?
Hey, I want to bring back the frozen potatoes in the shape of a smiley.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, okay, so if we're going to bring back things that were once there, what are you talking about? What are these things?
Okay, so they're like a frozen potato and you put them in the oven and it's like in the shape of a smiley. Like everyone had them as kids.
A smiley face chip.
Yeah, pretty much, but they're just so delicious.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not buying it here, Ash. I'm sorry.
What? That's so good.
I mean, it just sounds like a frozen chip with a smile on it.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer to bring this back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody. Okay,
you just
frozen
got
potatoes
baited.
In the shape of a smiley. All right, well, thank you for your suggestion, Ash. I'm very sorry. But unfortunately, I think we need to know what they are in order to bring them back.
All right.
Michael in Baulkham Hills, what do you feel should be brought back?
Hypercolor T-shirt, boys.
Bro, if you can find one that isn't the most faded, ratty piece of rag ever, then I am all for it. Are they even being manufactured anymore?
No, they're not. You can't get them anywhere.
You've tried? Have you hit up eBay?
Man, yeah, eBay.
Yeah.
Obscure websites.
Unfortunately,
there's no one selling
those bad boys. Oh, yeah. Man, that's heartbreaking.
Unfortunately, Michael, because these aren't being manufactured new, in order to bring them back, we're going to have to put something on our bodies that has touched some very questionable torsos, okay? I'm not sure if I'm willing to sort of do a bit of a body transfer with the people who wore hypercolors in the day.
They only lasted about 3 months.
I know.
Memory anyway.
One cycle through the wash, you got some ambiguously coloured tie-dye piece of clothing. I don't know.
Well, we are on the search.
That's the genius of it, though.
Some great texts came in as well. Macca from Mitchum just says, bring back pen pals. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
With slowest request, I think we were already
letter writing. Someone says, fuel station attendants, for sure. They have to come back.
Bring them back.
Another person, Justin from Warhope here, he's combined the double, which I think is the best. He said, on bum bags, as a kid, I carried my marbles around school in one to always be prepared for an unexpected game. I mean, we could bring back marbles and bum bags in the one go.
Bring back random marble duels.
Cat's eyes.
Okay, 0439757555. We want to settle on something today, and then across the whole month we'll try and get them back into the public consciousness. But first, let's do it. Another thing that is coming back on Friday. It's Like a Version. Here's one from Like a Version's Gone By, courtesy of Little Dragon, covering Khalees's Millionaire at 22 minutes past 8. Bring back Khalees. Bring stuff back because some things were better, okay?
Yeah.
As we all know. If there's one thing I've learned at Triple J is that things were better about 4 years ago.
Mm.
So we're going to try and bring something back that you are just so sad that they're gone and have tried to yourself. You need some more weight behind it. The whole Triple J radio station and listener base are going to get on board your idea. Bridget from Newcastle, what do you think should be brought back?
I want to bring back bicycle pegs on the back of bikes to double your friends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was always a sign of good things if you had the pegs there and you could just stand on the back. But, I mean, are we talking about just on BMXs here? Because that was where they were mainly seen. Or are you starting to think maybe some mountain bikes and races?
On cruises and stuff. Like on cruises, you can have like one bike and three friends.
Well, I love this because it's also environmentally friendly. All right.
Yes.
You don't need to be doing any emissions for that. It gets you fit. Okay. You bond with your friends. I mean, sure, you can break your head falling off, but I reckon that's a good idea, Bridget.
I feel like it's less dangerous than sitting on handlebars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we totally hear you there. Okay, well.
How about it?
Well, I think that's a very good idea, Bridget. We'll keep her on board.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much.
We've got to keep going as well, though, because we've got plenty of texts coming in on 0439757555. Matt O'Kine.
Texts coming in. Jack from Chippendale says we should bring back dial-up internet sounds. Just have them. Whenever you connect to the internet, just have it.
All right. Well, that's not a bad one. Tim from Mildura, what do you think we should bring back?
I reckon we should bring back Legionnaires hats.
Oh, I mean, this would be a bold move here, Tim, because I remember it was, they were forced upon us at primary school. I mean, and you did all you could to avoid that flap. You'd fold it up, you'd roll it up, you'd rip it off.
I had Velcro on the side of the head, so yeah, you would roll it up and stick it to the side.
Oh, you didn't actually do that, did you?
Of course I did. I was a cool kid in primary school.
Oh, no.
So this is good, but it does have, you know, merit. We're talking here, Tim. I guess Mildura, hot part of Victoria there. You get a bit of sunburn on the back of the neck, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Probably bringing back some bad memories for some students, as you say, but definitely practical in Australia.
Yeah, you know what? You know what doesn't bring back bad memories is sun safety, all right? And
that's right.
Very important. I think Thursday is actually International Cancer Day. This sends a good message.
Yes.
As well as letting everyone know what's back in fashion. So I reckon we could do this.
It's happening, Tim. For the month of February at Triple J and around Australia, we're bringing back Legionnaires hats.
Wait, a whole month?
Yeah. Oh. Well, it needs time to get traction.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I don't even own one.
Well, we've got to go get one. Have you got one at your house, Tim?
I'm actually a teacher, so I reckon I could fish one out of a school somewhere.
Lost and found.
Yeah, make sure I'm wearing it in the yard.
Definitely.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
All right.
Feel free to just harass a ball kid from the Australian Open, grab their Legionnaires hats. Oh, they've been bringing them back for the last 2 weeks. And, yeah, we'd love you to, just around the streets, wear your Legionnaires cap, people will know that you're not only sunsafe, but you listen to Triple J. You're cool. We're bringing it back. 2016 is the year of the Legionnaire.
I think I'm gonna rock it all weekend.
It's gonna be happening. I want it to the point where you have a person who doesn't listen to Triple J go to you. I keep seeing people with Legionnaires hats on. You're like, yeah, it's back. It's back. Matt and Alex are here, and if you've missed the news, great news for fans of hat mullets, Legionnaires caps officially back.
Yeah.
As of about 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, we are calling it. Someone texting in, so don't forget that Ollie Macaro, Lockie Macaro was wearing one the other day, which we did have a chat to him about. This is completely separate.
Yep. We asked you with the might of Triple J what you needed back. We got a suggestion from Tim in Mildura that he wants Legionnaires caps back in the game. And so it's happening. And no one is more happy than Joe from Sydney. Good morning to you, Joe.
Morning. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks, Joe. Now, why is Legionnaires hats coming back so important to you?
Oh, I need them. I really, really need them. I've got the longest neck, skinniest neck you've ever seen. And as a silhouette from behind, I look like a poorly drawn stick figure. So I just need them.
So how many times has that long neck copped a bit of sun damage there?
Oh, heaps of sun damage.
Mm.
Okay. And I just am a mockery. I've been trying to bring them back for 3 years now. And I even got to one stage where I had to grow a mullet, but that was definitely a poor decision.
Well, someone has suggested if someone with a mullet adds a Legionnaire's hat, that's double protection. That's a double wrap.
They've said that it's like wearing long johns underneath a suit of armour. That's what they said. But
370 SPF.
But Joe, I mean, and quite seriously, are you concerned? Is it a difficulty? Can you find a flap that's long enough?
That is a concern. Sometimes you know how there's one hat size fits most. I'm not most in that configuration.
Sure. I was going to get, because I have to go to big shoe stores to get special shoes. Where does one with a long, disproportionately large neck go?
Well, most of the time I just have to go with the long Legionnaires and the collar pop as well.
The collar pop, there's room for that to come back in itself.
Maybe in the future we'll be looking at that. Okay, well, hopefully we'll be able to sort you out. Hopefully you can find one that's long enough. We've got a suggestion as well. Maybe if Triple J brings out official Legionnaires hats to bring them back, the collar could be, the flap can be detachable as a makeshift tune rag to hold up in the air as well. To wear it to a festival, which could be quite good as well. The developments, but please, whether you do have a long neck or no, we're looking to bring back Legionnaires hats through the month of February. And Joe, you're top of the list. So best of luck to you, my friend. And please text us a photo of this neck and we'll try and protect it.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.